Hello, I'm Carrie. I was taking a drink when she said my name, so I think I spilled water all over my face. All right, how's everyone doing today? Yes, I am that awkward. Thank you. Thank you. All right, we are starting a new series today, and there's a lot to cover, so I want to kind of jump right into it. But first, I want to tell you about something that we're doing just a little bit different with this series. So this is we're going to have 4 weeks of lessons talking about different topics. And then the fifth week, what we're going to do is we want to know what you want to know. Because it's one thing for us to stand up here and tell you what we've been researching, tell you what we've been learning about. It's another for you to challenge us with questions that you have. We want what we talk about to be relevant to you. So what we're going to be talking about this month is the Trinity. So lots of people have lots of questions about the Trinity, about who God is, about who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is. So if you have a question throughout any of this series, then you can email me, send it to my email, carrie@theproject.church, or you can send it to our Facebook messages, or just write it down on a Connect card at the end of service. So send us your questions, because at the last week, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of have like a panel type thing, and there'll be several of us up here, and we're going to be taking those questions that you're going to send ahead of time so we have time to make sure that we can try to find an answer. And then we're going to talk about that. So we're really excited about that. This is not a challenge to try to stump us. I know y'all. But if you have a question, we want to hear. And if we can't find the answer, if we don't know the answer, we'll tell you. But we'll try to help resource you. We'll try to help find a way that we can find a good common ground on the question. All right. So this is the Trinity. And I'll be honest with you. This has been a really tough message for me to work on. Now, I'm really excited about talking about this because this is a very foundational belief for Christianity, that there's one God, but there's three gods, but it's not three gods, it's one God, there's three in one, but it's very confusing, right? So it's been a very tricky message for me to work on. It's been one of those things that I've never really fully felt like I understood how it works, but you know what? That's okay. As John Wesley says, he says, "Bring me a worm that can comprehend a man, and I'll show you a man that can comprehend the triune God." There are some things that our human understanding cannot comprehend. And that's okay. So this is my disclaimer. I do not claim to have definitive answers on anything that we're going to talk about. The important thing is to have the conversation. So we're going to have a conversation. And it's not going to just be us talking to you. We want to hear your questions. So what is the Trinity? Anyone? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So it's God, Jesus, Holy Spirit working together as one, three in one. And I'm sure if you have been around Christianity very long at all, if you're at least a little bit familiar with the way that Christianity functions, you've heard that. But what does it mean? Why does it matter? Believing in the triune God is one of the most foundational beliefs of the Christian faith. So the more that we learn about the Trinity, the more we are able to understand who God is. But how can three be one? How can Jesus be fully God and fully man? How can three function as one? So, I'm a little nerdy. So I flipped open the Bible dictionary. And their definition of the Trinity is, the doctrine of the Trinity may be succinctly defined as follows. I feel like I should do this in a British accent. I don't have that today, though. There is only one true and living God who simultaneously and eternally exists as three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the Father is not the Son is not the Father, and the Holy Spirit is neither the Father nor the Son. The three distinct persons possess equally the fullness of the one divine nature, so that they are not three gods, but one. Makes perfect sense, right? Y'all, that's about as clear as mud. So we're going to kind of flesh this out a little bit more and kind of try to figure out a good way of landing on this. So is anyone a visual learner out here? Yeah, I'm a visual learner. If I can see something drawn out, spelled out, something like that, like I have to have something to visualize to be able to really understand something. So just in case we had some visual learners today, I have a little clip to show you.
So I've got a question that's always bothered me. The Bible says there's one God, but in other parts of the Bible, God is three, Father, Son, and Spirit. How can it be both?
Yeah, this is a question that has mystified people for thousands of years. And while we can't fully explain it, I think we can better understand what it is that we can't fully understand.
What do you mean?
Well, think of it this way. Here's a two-dimensional plane. And then, here's an object with three dimensions that's going to pass through the 2D plane.
Okay, right. From this perspective, the 3D object's above and below the plane.
So now that makes sense, but imagine you were a 2D person stuck on the 2D plane. What would you see?
I don't know. What would I see?
Well, it would look like this.
Oh, yeah, okay. From this perspective, it looks impossible. It's one object, and then two objects, and then three.
But in reality, they're all one, just not in a way you're capable of understanding. Now, let's take this whole thing as a visual analogy for how we experience God. The claim in the Bible is that God is...
Cut it off. I will probably post the link to that full video on our Facebook page this week. It's really good to kind of explain this in a little deeper way, but we're not going to get into all of that today. You know, basically what this is saying is that from our perspective, it's hard to see how three can be one, but one can be three, right? That's four, three. But that's okay, because we're not expected to be able to fully understand, because we weren't created with that capacity for understanding. The biblical authority claims that God is transcendent. It means to exist apart from and not be subject to the limitations of the material universe. So how can we understand something that is transcendent? Something that is beyond what we can see, what we can hear, what we can know, something beyond our senses. However, understanding the unified story of the Bible can help us to see how God, Jesus, and the Spirit all serve different purposes throughout time. So we're going to do a very quick version of the greatest story ever told. So we know how it begins. In Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. So there was God. In the beginning, there was God. Everything and everyone in earth worked in harmony. Because if we read on, we know on the sixth day, God created man. And everything was awesome. They had food. They had supplies. They had harmony. They had peace. They had true living shalom. Everything was great. But they messed it up. By choosing their own path over what God had put before them, they created division between themselves with God and God. Now, previously, they had walked with God daily. It says that he came to the garden and he would walk with them daily. They had real relationship with God. But they chose to walk away from that. And they created that division. So in the Old Testament, we see a pattern. We see a pattern of God creating an opportunity for relationship, reaching out, God consistently pursuing reconciliation with humanity, only to have humanity turn its back on him over and over again. You know, it's kind of a vicious cycle of broken agreements. And there seemed to be no hope. But if we look in the Old Testament, a lot of it seems very violent. It seems very, like God is angry. Like God could be a monster. But if you look at the context of what he had done, the system that he had set up in place, who was the monster? Who was turning their back on whom? The way that God handled his people in the Old Testament, it really tells us a lot about who he is. God the Father's character of holiness demands justice and righteousness. But his character of love and compassion, it moves him to provide a way of redemption and reconciliation that fallen people might re-enter fellowship with him. He demands justice, but he offers love. You know, I've heard a lot that we serve a God of second chances. But what we see in the Old Testament is that God's capacity for forgiveness is immeasurable. So then we move on to the New Testament. And in the early books of the New Testament, we read about this man named Jesus. Jesus was sent by the Father to be the immediate representation of the Father on earth for the purpose of redeeming humanity. But we also have to remember that Jesus was a man. He was a physical person that was born into a culture in a time. He exists as a person of history. God's fingerprint is written through the course of history. We serve a historical God. Jesus. Hello? Hello? Oh boy. I can't yell. Can I? Backup plan. So Jesus, he slept, he ate, he walked on the earth as a physical person. If we forget that Jesus was truly human, then we cannot fully appreciate what he accomplished with his life. You know, Jesus created a bridge between God and humanity. He created a pathway for reconciliation. And then we look in the book of Acts, and we see the day of Pentecost. And what happened on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit came. Thank you. The Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit came, and he rested on the people that were there. And he filled them with his presence. But that is not the first time that the Spirit of God is mentioned in the Bible. A lot of people say that, well, the Holy Spirit didn't show up until after Jesus had died. That's where he fits in the timeline. No. When we look at Genesis 1, verse 2, it says that the presence of the Spirit was hovering over the waters. The Spirit was present in the beginning, and he was present all the way through to the end. He empowers believers to do incredible things. Now, don't mishear me on that. The Holy Spirit is not a radioactive spider bite that gives you superpowers. But whenever someone has a true encounter with the Spirit of God and experiences a renewing of their heart and their mind, then they can truly become who they were created to be. So the Holy Spirit, he was sent to communicate to humanity God's redemptive purpose. So that was just a very, very quick, very brief overview of the biblical story. But we can see the Trinity represented from beginning to end. We can see the purpose of each individual person of the Trinity working at different times for different reasons and in different ways. What I want you to see through that little brief story is I want you to see how God, Jesus, and the Spirit all play an important role from the beginning to the end. You know, over the next few weeks, we're going to look at each individually, and we're going to look a little bit more in depth. But y'all, there is so much here to talk about. So I have a challenge for you. Go home and do your own research. Open your Bible and see what God says to you through His Word. I am not telling you what to believe on this. I am here to challenge you to search out for the answers for yourself. I am here to help with the resources. I am here to help with conversations. But the responsibility for understanding the Trinity, it's personal. But for now, I just want to help you find a place where you are more confident and understand just a little bit better about how the Trinity functions. Does anyone here like coffee? A few people?
Yeah.
Me too. Some people judge me and say I drink too much coffee. But I don't know if I need those people in my life either. It's negativity. Coffee's good. But have you ever thought about the process that it takes to get a cup of coffee? Let's look at it. So we have a picture. I have some pictures here. I told you I'm a visual person. So this is your lesson on the production of coffee. So this is what it looks like. Coffee grows on a plant. We say it's a coffee bean, but really it's a seed. Now these seeds, they get harvested, and they look like little cherries, don't they? They're actually called cherries. So this is what they look like when they're first off of the plant. Picture two. So these cherries, they're laid out and they're dried. Now this process, it takes several weeks. They're exposed to the air to where they're dried out for several weeks. Now they're not just left there. They have to be raked, they have to be moved, they have to be stirred up so all of it can be exposed to the air so it can properly dry. So it can be prepared for the next step, which is roasting them over fire. Now, there's different techniques. There's different ways of roasting it, but I like this because I like cast iron, and it looks a little dramatic with the fire. So, and also, I can almost smell this picture. Yeah, you know. But they are roasted. They are exposed to the heat. They're exposed to the fire. And what that does is it helps the flavor to get rich, bold, and stronger. And then finally, they're ground up, and you pour water over the grounds, and it becomes this magical concoction called coffee. And it just makes life better. Now, I know I sound like an addict, but I had this conversation with someone the other day, and I can give it up, but why would I want to, right? It's, oh, Aisha. So we have this thing that has been transformed from this little seed, this little red cherry, and over the process of being exposed to air and fire and water, it becomes something new. It is transformed into something new. So where am I going with this? Hey, she gets it. I love a good metaphor. Like if you've been here before, you probably have already picked up on that. I love a good metaphor. So bear with me here. Imagine that you're that little seed. You're that little cherry that's picked off the plant. You were picked off and you were chosen to become something different, something new. And through the process, you are strengthened by the air. You are transformed by the fire. And you are reborn into something new by the water. So those are kind of the three elements of nature we hear about all the time, right? We've got air, fire, and water. There are so many parallels to those elements and the Trinity throughout Scripture. If you don't believe me, think about the worship songs that we just sang. Think about the songs that we sing on a weekend. Like, Holy Spirit come, like a fire, like a flood. It's everywhere. And in the next few weeks, we're going to kind of draw on this parallel a little bit more to kind of see a little bit of imagery. But God, he is radiant. He is holy and pure like fire. Jesus is refreshing and life-giving and sustaining like water. And the Spirit is energizing. He's powerful and encompassing like air. Hopefully, by using these elements, we can kind of draw on the parallel. We can use it as an imagery, like they were used in the Scriptures, to kind of help understand how the Trinity and the persons of the Trinity function. But why even talk about the Trinity? Why does it even matter? Let's look back to the metaphor. So if we compare ourselves to that little cherry, that little coffee bean cherry seed thing, by being exposed to the Holy Spirit, we are strengthened. By being exposed to the fire, we are transformed. And by being exposed to Jesus, we are reborn. It is all three working together that allows us the opportunity to reconcile our relationship with God and to be restored to the original purpose of humanity. It takes all three to get us back to the garden. But you know, God is so holy. Just like fire, you can't touch fire without getting burned. He's so holy and so pure that we are unable to fully reach him. But God has so much love for us that he sent his son Jesus to teach us to be like him. Because if we can learn to live more like him, if we can become more pure, if we can become more holy, then we get one step closer. And then he sent his Spirit to fill us, to convict us, to comfort us. He sent his Spirit to equip and empower us to be able to live a life of purity, of selflessness, so we can get another step closer to God. You know, the Trinity is God reaching out with all of his grace and understanding and love. And he's provided us the opportunity through the Trinity, through the way that it functions, to be able to reach back and reconcile a relationship with him. You know, we've covered a lot in a short amount of time. And there's so much more. There's so much more. But if you leave here today only remembering one thing, I want you to remember this. And I wrote it down so I wouldn't mess it up. That God, the creator of the universe, whose magnificence we can only slightly claim to comprehend, he wants to have a relationship with you. And he has not only made himself accessible to you, but he has sent Jesus before you to make it possible, and the Spirit to allow you to become connected with him. So I have a question for you today. And I'm not going to drag out the service today because we have more coming tonight. But I have a question that I have to ask. Do you have a relationship with God? And if you don't, If you cannot answer yes to that question, then why not? What's stopping you? What's holding you back? Is it doubt? Is it disbelief? Is it not taking the time to search out for yourself who he really is? Because people want to believe in something. We have that inside of us, that we want to believe that there is something bigger than ourselves. You see it everywhere. People want an idea to follow. They want a concept to claim. They want a football team to cheer on because it's not just about me. It's about, we're a team, we're the fans. I'm part of something bigger than myself. We want that. We crave that. The hand of the Father is already extended to you. This is your opportunity to reach your hand back and to embrace a relationship with him. Now, it's not just a one and done. All right, God, I want a relationship with you. Now everything's great. It's a process of learning, of searching, of deconstructing what you previously thought. It's a process of shaking up everything that you thought you knew. It is a dangerous journey, but if you're up for the challenge, we are here to walk with you. We are here to give you the support and the encouragement because we are unified through the Spirit to be the body of Christ, to lead you to a reconciliation with God. That is the purpose of the church, to support one another, to give encouragement and love and generosity to one another. They will know we are Christians by our love, not because of our big buildings, not because of our knowledge, not because of a big fancy word, because of our love. And as we grow, as we learn, as we build on our knowledge, as we come together as a community, and as we give of ourselves to others, each one of those things, we're taking one step closer and closer to God. So bow your heads. Now, I'm not going to ask you guys to like raise your hands or anything like that. And I'm definitely not going to have you recite a prayer after me because God already knows my heart. He doesn't want to hear from me. He wants to hear from your heart. But if there is a part of you that is craving to believe, step away from this opportunity without challenging yourself, without seeking God, without seeking reconciliation. Because frankly, he's too good to not believe. So I'm going to pray. And if God is calling on you right now to reach your hand toward him, then just surrender. God, we know you're good. God, we've seen the handprint of your involvement throughout the course of history. God, there is not a single thing that has taken you off guard. There's not a single thing that has surprised you, but there are things that have broken your heart. God, don't let me be someone that breaks your heart. God, in this moment, as we sit here, it's not about flash, it's not about besides you. God, I just pray that you would just give us a heart of surrender. God, pour your Spirit over us. make yourself known. Shake up the foundations of our misbeliefs. God, the world will tell us things. It will tell us that we're ignorant. It will tell us that we don't understand, that we're blind. But God, it is impossible to have an encounter with you and to not believe in the sovereignty of who you are. God, it is impossible to ask you to show us who you are and not to see a glimpse of who you are. God, I pray that you would open our eyes, that you would help us to see the things that we can't naturally see, that you will help us to understand the things that are beyond our comprehension, that you will humble our spirits and our pride enough that we understand that you are here and you are calling and you are pure. God, I pray that you would just strengthen us with your spirit, that you would transform us with your Holy Son. And God, that you would refine us in your fire, that you would break away any impurities, that you would put us on a path of righteousness, not for our name, but for yours, not for our purpose, but for yours, not for our glory, but for yours. So God, in this moment, I surrender to you. Take me, mold me, change me, transform me, renew me, refresh me. God, because I just love you. I know I'm not always going to get it right. I know that there's going to be times that I mess up. There's going to be things that I look back and think, that was not a reflection of God. But your grace is never ending. Your capacity for forgiveness is immeasurable. God, I just pray a blessing over the people that are here today, God. Those that believe, those that may not believe. God, because I know that you can speak to disbelief just as much as you can speak to belief. But God, as we are here and we are yielding to your voice, we are yielding to your message and your purpose. There's other places to be, but you brought everyone here for a reason today. So God, I just pray a blessing that you would just renew and refresh. God, that you would reach out your hand just a little further. God, that you would inspire reconciliation, that you would bring us back to you. Amen. Y'all, I don't normally do this, but if there is someone here that just feels like they need some prayer, they need someone to come around them and to just love them, we are the connected body of Christ. That's what we're here for, is to support one another. So don't leave here today. If you want to do it in this moment, raise your hand or come up and we'll pray for you. There's people around you that are just as qualified to pray for you as I am. Don't leave today without connecting with someone. And if you did, surrender today. If you did reach your hand out toward God to meet him, let us know. Because you're not doing it by yourself. It's not because we want to count a number or keep a record. We don't even do that, do we? We don't do that. Because it's not about us. It's not about what we're building. It's about God building his kingdom here on earth. But we want to support you. We want to help you. We want to help answer questions and help guide you fully to that reconciliation with God. So don't leave here today. Find me, Matt, Aisha, Derek, Christy, Mallory, whoever, Mike. Find someone and just say, hey, I reached out my hand. Now what?